are listening to Critical Inn, episode number 26, the episode that's 152 minutes long.
Well, it's the festival cut, though.
Weinstein.
Actually, you know what? I don't even know. Weinstein. I think it's Weinstein.
Okay. Well, yeah. Cool. Did you approve that with him?
I did. He's okay. He would never cut our work. It's just silly rumor. Come on.
Okay. That totally explains, yeah, why Grindhouse was released as two separate movies that were both like 3 hours longer.
It's true.
I think that works out well.
Hey Logan, something awkward I want to kind of bring up with you. I've been avoiding this, but...
Does that have something to do with Mike Myers being in this movie?
No. Something like that. It's just... Well, it's you owe me... you owe me something that you... Well, it's those 100 Nazi scalps you promised me, Logan. You haven't really delivered. You gave me three scalps. Ryan, I'm not even sure they were Nazis.
As far as that goes, mm-hmm. the way I view it is the movie itself didn't deliver in that.
Uh-huh.
Even, despite the fact we were promised that in the trailer, kind of. Mm-hmm. That didn't really happen in the movie. I think... Like, maybe we see a total of 5 Nazi scalps.
Uh-huh.
In fact, now that I think about it, the bastards in the title aren't really in the movie that much either.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
Let's get into it,
Ryan.
Okay, Inglourious Bastards, folks. Or, if you were to actually pronounce it the right way, Ryan.
Inglourious Bastards.
Which is actually how I ordered the ticket.
It's a slight
speech impediment. I wasn't trying to pronounce it the right way. It's just the way I talk sometimes.
People laugh at you in public.
Oh, I know. I'm there. It's public. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure. it's not a big secret.
It's a matter of public record.
Listen, Ryan, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get this out of the way firsthand, okay? This is what, day... I saw this movie. When did I see this movie? I saw it yesterday. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I saw this movie yesterday, Ryan.
So did I.
So this is only day one of this incredible backlash I'm getting for not liking this movie. You would not believe it. I actually declared today that I have not experienced backlash of this type since I reviewed The Dark Knight.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, people are like jumping on me on the streets, Ryan. And they do not understand. I am getting like yelled at for my review, for my thoughts on this movie. And these people that are yelling at me have no thoughts of their own on the movie besides the fact that it was awesome. I believe one said it was rad.
And
I believe the word bitchin' was brought up, and perhaps there was one or two tubulars.
So Ryan. Most of your friends are Ninja Turtles.
No, just surf ninjas. Did you see that?
Oh,
They're more like the surf ninjas. Yeah, Leslie Nelson, Rob Schneider. Yeah, what a hit.
Of Game Gear playing Game Gear.
A lot of gay gear.
No, Game Gear.
Oh yeah, that was a big. And the end, they all sing Barbara.
Commercial tie-in. Well, Logan, I will say that probably a lot of those people who are criticizing you are sort of just rabid fans of anything Quentin Tarantino, is what I imagine.
I would agree.
And I gotta tell you, I'm not too different. I like pretty much everything he's done.
Oh, geez, really, Ryan?
What's something he's done that was terrible? I mean, Death...
Grindhouse?
No, see, I disagree. Death Wish was way too long. Yes, it's probably the worst thing
he's
done.
Yeah.
I mean, Death Proof, sorry.
Yeah.
Not Charles Bronson.
Death Wish was okay.
It was pretty good, directed by Quentin Tarantino. But I didn't absolutely hate it. And I didn't absolutely hate this movie either. I thought that...
Okay. I didn't absolutely hate this movie either, but I'm going to get this out of the way too. I'm only going to concentrate on the bad stuff, okay?
Okay.
Because they're going to hear all the good stuff from you and everyone else they talk to in the entire world.
Okay, that's fair.
I have to say this. My sister Olivia pegged this best, I think. She said that this is one of those movies that she's going to tell people she didn't like and they're going to completely spaz on her. And I responded by telling her that's exactly what everyone does to me when I talk about Quentin Tarantino.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you know, here's why Death Proof did not work at all. And they're just like, but what? Tarantino's the man! Like, they really have no... And, like, I don't know. Right? I said the same thing about Kill Bill Part 2.
Uh-huh.
A lot of problems there. To be honest, like, Pulp Fiction to me is really the only good Quentin Tarantino movie. And that's the only time when his style was and seemed original. He hadn't yet gone into the whole school of, I'm just going to copy every movie that's good that I like. There were things about Pulp Fiction that worked. And Inglourious Bastards, we'll get around to it now. It's like, he's, not only is he even, like, he's doing the same, he's fallen into kind of the Wes Anderson pit in a way. He's doing the same bits over and over again that we've seen so many times before, but not only that, now he's just flat out copying better movies, Ryan. And I don't know, if there's anything at all in this movie that you liked, it's because you've probably seen it or you've heard of it from a better movie. Hell, even, Ryan, even the title is stolen from probably, even the title, like, which is awesome, is stolen from a movie that has that awesome title.
Well, here's the thing, that's nothing new with Tarantino. Yes, okay. He is a master of pastiche, but that still makes him a master.
Of stealing from other people?
Yeah.
I thought that stealing is a bad thing. I don't think we want to do that though, right?
Well,
I thought,
listen,
like, okay.
It's a fine line. I admit,
well, you know,
it's a fine,
like,
line
people.
between stealing and homage. And Tarantino is able to get away with it because he, first of all, always cops to it. And second of all, is sort of just such a big cinema nerd that everybody just kind of lets him get away with it. Now, is that great? I don't know. In fact, I don't think it's irrelevant. I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're talking about whether the movie itself
worked. That, yeah, and this is why, one of the reasons I think it doesn't work.
Go for it.
Because he's doing nothing new here. He's doing stuff we've seen before in a lot better movies. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, I don't know, it's like, there was a funny bit of trivia here that apparently Tarantino wanted to get Ennio Morricone to do the music, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like the awesome guy who did the music to all the spaghetti westerns. Well, Marconi was apparently busy doing something else, I forget what. And so he's like, oh, I can't do it, sorry. But when I think about it, it's like, why did he want him anyway when he, in the movie, he just ended up stealing all of his stuff from better movies?
Sure. But
okay,
again,
so,
it's licensed music. It's like, I can't really fault him too much. I mean, you're right, it's getting old because he uses like the same tracks in pretty much every film nowadays.
Okay.
I'm not arguing with that.
Okay, well, do you want to move into what's wrong with the movie then itself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, hold on, one more thing on style, though. What the hell's up with the chapters in this movie?
Oh.
They make no sense, there's no reason for them to really be there, and if anything, they make the story even less cohesive. Because, like, it's very rare that the chapters have anything to do with what turns out to be the plot of this movie. I use that term loosely. There's a reason why they weren't really telling you what the plot was in any of the trailers, because it barely exists in this movie. Mm. But yeah, okay, so the chapters, thoughts on that?
I think the chapters are, you know, same as the chapters in Kill Bill. They're just as silly and just as Tarantino-y, and they neither impressed me nor really affected my opinion of the film.
Okay, as far as, like, I don't know, Tarantino's always brought up style and stuff, right? Is there anything as far as style go that you liked in this movie?
Well, here's the thing. If you're just talking about style, this is not one of Tarantino's most stylish movies. In fact, I was actually a little bit...
But that's what one of the things Tarantino's best known for. So it's hard to talk about a Tarantino movie and not mention that.
Let's mention it. I was impressed with his restraint when it came to style. Now, there are some glaring moments where he fails to restrain himself, and those look silly. The thing I liked most about this movie is how suspenseful it was. I felt like a lot of the scenes really held a moment out for as long as possible with you just sort of like biting your nails as to what was going to happen. And those scenes were not directed like Pulp Fiction or Kill Bill with extreme close-ups. Yes, they were extreme close-ups in this movie. But those particular scenes were sort of regular dramatic two shots that you would expect from that kind of movie. And they were well composed and well done. Now, when you start getting into slow motion with bullets, which happens only a few times, it reminds me of Tarantino, and yet takes you out of the movie because the rest of the movie doesn't look like that. But for most of the movie, I was actually kind of impressed with how un-Tarantino-y he was being with his setups.
What you just mentioned is pretty much Kill Bill 2.
Kill Bill 2 takes place entirely inside Uma Thurman's retinas. Like, it's all close-ups of her eyes.
Well, no, I mean, the entire, like, anticlimactic end to Kill Bill 2 is pretty much this entire, like, every talking scene in this movie. It's pretty much just them talking about, like, oh, you know, we could fight, but first let's talk about this. Or let's... Hold on one second, there's a truck coming by or something. Can you still hear me,
coming
Ryan?
Coming to take you away.
Can you actually hear that? That's insanely loud.
Yeah.
Well, now he's just stopped outside my window.
Is he yelling, why don't you like Tarantino?
He's tubular! Yeah, keep moving. Kill Bill 2, and it's the same way. They pretty much just sat at a table talking to each other, which was what a lot of this movie was about. You say that style. To me, that was... You also say you were biting your nails. To me, I was insanely bored, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Especially when you realize that after these scenes are over, that had nothing at all to do with the plot whatsoever.
Which scenes had nothing to do with the plot?
Oh, pretty much everything. Like, the best scene, and the only time this works in the entire movie, is the first scene. Because that's after that, you realize he's just trying to do the first scene over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like he sat down like once a month and wrote a new scene to this movie. It's basically just a bunch of people sitting around talking. We have the opening scene where they do that. We have the scene after that where we actually see, for like one time in the movie, the Inglourious Basterds in action, mm-hmm. where they pretty much sit a guy down. They're like, okay, point to the map where this is. That has nothing at all to do with the plot later on in the movie. Mm-hmm. If anything, the only reason I like that scene in there was it's one of the few scenes where we actually got to see the title characters.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. There's like, what, I mean, the Inglourious Basterds is this group of, that the movie's about. Although, like, we actually see action from less than half of them. I don't even know who most of them were. And they're like, I don't know, maybe like four of them actually do something in the movie?
Well, you're right about that.
And Brad Pitt gets a total of 10 minutes of screen time altogether, I'd bet.
The reason that scene would have been really good if the Basterds actually lived up to the promise and did a lot in the movie.
Yes.
They were not as featured as was promised. Actually, it's not so much that they weren't featured because they were in a lot of the movie. It's that we only knew three of them and only Brad Pitt ever did anything.
Yeah, but he's not actually in a lot of the movie, though. We have this scene where they sit them down. Okay, that's cool, but it doesn't have anything to do with the plot. It's also pretty much just a reaction. It's pretty much just the same thing we just saw in that opening scene, which was awesome, okay?
Uh-huh.
It works well in the opening scene because we don't know what's coming. Now we know everything. Now we know pretty much what's happening. It's like, okay, they're going to get their way some way. Someone's going to beat up in some graphic way. Then it moves on. Okay, so then they're sitting in this bar forever. That scene went on for, like, days. That was probably, like, the majority of this 152 minutes, them sitting in a bar. Talking in a way that had nothing at all to do with the plot so much. In fact, yeah, the plot in no way gets further there except for maybe some people die. And it's funny, because one of the people that dies is someone who was introduced the scene before. It's like, he spent 20 minutes in the scene before introducing this character, only to kill him in the very next scene. He doesn't get to do anything at all in the movie.
Yeah, that's a flaw. See, here's the thing. We should say that this movie revolves around two different plots to kill Hitler. And the problem I had with it is that he sets up one of the main characters at the very beginning of the movie, in the very first scene, with a reason to hate the Nazis. Obviously, she's Jewish for one, particularly sets up an opposition between this Jewish girl and this German officer. The Jewish girl and the German officer both get a lot of screen time and show up in the movie here after that, but they don't ever live up to their adversarial promise. Like, they never actually really really conflict in the way the movie is promising they will. And in fact, the two different plots to kill Hitler don't have much to do with each other or lend to each other. You feel like either one of them looks like it happened in vain compared to the other one because it was unnecessary. And it leaves you wondering who the movie was supposed to actually be about.
Right. Well, according to the title and all the preview material, it's about the Inglourious Basterds.
Well, I mean, we knew that was marketing, though.
Well, it's not at all. I mean, it can't be marketing, Ryan, when it's pretty much the title. Plus, I mean, he cast Brad Pitt as, like, pretty much Brad Pitt, no matter what, is your lead in this movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It doesn't work. And he sets it up at the beginning as kind of like a Kill Bill type situation, where this girl's going to get revenge in some way. That falls through. And instead of, like, moving the plot through his dialogue, he prefers to just bore us to death with pointless dialogue, which a good example of this is pretty much Death Proof. If you remember the way Death Proof was set up, it's them sitting at a bar for the first hour, finally something happens. Then it's them driving around the countryside for the next hour, and then finally something happens, and it all seems unrelated. And I felt this was the same way. It seems like these really stretches of long scenes, only in they all, like, after, you know, your 20 minutes of them talking, finally something violent will happen for all of 15 seconds. And then maybe after that he might be like, oh yeah, okay, back to whatever this plot was.
I agree that a good half hour could have been cut from this movie, if not more.
Yes.
It's way too long. You know, large chunks of it could have gone. I agree with that. I disagree that it had nothing to do with the plot. I think that most of the stuff actually did further the plot or the characters.
No, it's not even characters though, Ryan, because it's, I mean, if you're saying that he uses these scenes to build up the characters for a long time, then it doesn't quite work out when he kills them off in the very next scene.
I mean, yeah, that happened once.
I mean, it happens, like, actually, I mean, more than once. If it doesn't happen like that, then, in other words, then he'll introduce a character in the middle of the movie that probably should have been introduced earlier on in the movie so we don't have to get all this character development in one scene, and then maybe give that character two more scenes before something happens. And I don't feel like I didn't really care about any of the characters. No one seems like I don't know, I don't feel like anyone really changes at all in this movie besides the main Nazi villain. who is pretty much the highlight of the movie, if you ask me. I forget his name.
He is. I forget his name,
he's
too.
He's really good in this movie.
He is the highlight of the movie, and that's because we do get like a little bit of a sense of his character, which is what's missing from the other characters.
His character, yeah, he actually changes as a character, but he's the only one to do so. And because of that, like, he comes out like the star of the movie, pretty much.
But the thing is, the movie isn't boring to me. It's not boring. It keeps moving. I was in suspense the whole time, like I said. And as much I think that even though I was a little unsatisfied with the arcs of the characters, as I said, there's only one who has a huge arc, like you just said. I was satisfied with the way that the plot resolved itself. So I still ended up with an overall positive feeling leaving the theater.
I didn't so much. Like I said, mainly because I was just bored most of the time. It reminded me of Death Proof. It was slightly better than that, though. Grindhouse was a real, like, letdown, in my opinion. And I feel like Tarantino did kind of suffer from that. I won't say that he learned so much. I don't know. I can't say I feel like he was trying to do something new here, though. I don't know. I just feel like this whole thing is flawed in some way. Like, I don't know. When I sit back and I think of, like, the trailer that promised us, like, 100 Nazi scalps and Eli Roth beating people with a bat and, cool, like, Jewish characters, like, you know, the Bear Jew and whatnot, and Brad Pitt, this silly accent. You know, if all that sounded awesome to you folks, then that's really about 10 minutes of the 152-minute runtime of this movie.
Well, I mean, you're right about that. But I guess what happened was I knew it wasn't going to be that. I knew the marketing was lying to me already, so my expectations were not that.
The reason I feel like it lied is because they saw this movie and they're like, oh, well, what do we really promote in that movie? Because, what, there's 5 minutes of plot, I think. Mm-hmm. All they can do is promote the fact that there might be violence and maybe show quick scenes of that. And you've pretty much seen the good parts of the movie then in the trailer. Because, like, seriously, unless you want to see people sitting around talking for a long time and no way furthering the plot, well, there you go. That's pretty much what this movie has. And I don't know, Ryan, this is what I'm going to tell you, okay?
Yeah.
If you have to see this in theaters, watch the entire first scene because it is excellent. Leave after that, and you won't want to leave because you'll be like, this movie can only be awesome. But if you leave after that, this will be like a 10 movie, and I highly recommend doing that. But if you have to wait, I'd actually more so recommend waiting and renting the unrated Director's Cut DVD. Which is bound to happen, I guarantee you, because this is one of those things you can totally tell that they may have cut down the violence.
Well, you know, I disagree about the plot, because I think that the... I think it is moved forward. I just think that the character stuff is lacking. But ultimately, I went to see a Quentin Tarantino movie, and I got that. I mean, the characters are funny, the situations are outlandish and yet cool, and there was this extra layer of, like, cool suspense I wasn't even suspecting that I thought was rather impressive for him. So, ultimately, there are problems with it, but I still give it a watch. I give it a thumbs up.
Well, this is a new rating system, I guess?
Well, I give it a 7.
Completely stolen. Okay, yeah. I wanted a new experience in the cinema. I wanted to see Quentin Tarantino do something new and creative. I didn't want to pay to see the same thing I've been seeing Quentin Tarantino do pretty much in every movie, almost to like the worst effect than it was previously. Mm-hmm. I want to see another Reservoir Dogs. I want to see another Pulp Fiction. I want to see Quentin Tarantino once again surprise me in the theater and not just rely too much on his name. And that's pretty much exactly what this movie's doing. Like I said, I'd only highlight the bad stuff. Ryan hit a lot of the good points of this movie. So I'm not giving it a completely bad rating. I'm giving it a 5, actually. Mm-hmm. Which I might surprise some people. I've done this before in the past. I think a lot of movies that, to me, fall at a 5 or 6, I have more fun highlighting the bad stuff about.
Well, you sound like you thought the movie was mediocre, but you were disappointed.
I was,
which is like, your disappointment puts it at like a 3, but you actually thought the movie was mediocre.
Yeah, you can't, I don't know, it's not, you can't walk away comparing, you can't be, you know, I've seen so many bad movies in my life, Ryan, as you clearly know.
Yeah.
I'm not walking away. I'm like, well,
this is
you know,
no Killjoy.
Yeah, I'm walking away saying, you know, at least that was better than Roadhouse.
don't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna give Inglourious Basterds, Tarantino's new film, a 5. And Ryan, I want to give you a special handshake right now if you just hold your hand out.
Okay.
Nice, huh? Uh-huh. And that's for being the only person I've talked to who actually has valid points and as far as an argument goes on this movie.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, most people really just. I think it's maybe a Tarantino's thing. Maybe this is the kind of audience he attracts. People who are just kind of like, all right, Tarantino, man.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you actually have a reason why this movie could possibly be good.
Yeah, and it's still flawed. I was actually forced to defend it because of the you know, vehement you were about it. But yeah. Ultimately, it's not my favorite Tarantino movie by any means. But
yeah, what
I think
is
it's
your favorite
seeing.
Tarantino? Can you say you've seen them all? I mean, is that mute to even bring that up?
I believe I've seen them all. Sure. I think it's got to be Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
But
which he wasn't
I
even
liked,
like the full writer of, just to throw that out there.
Well, sure, Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
But I liked Kill Bill a lot, and I wish it had just been one shorter movie.
I agree with that. I'm still hanging on to, which he promised us the release time. I assume this is a Miramax problem. I'm still, like, holding out for that big, we were promised the Kill Bill complete thing that was actually the movies as he intended them.
Yeah.
Because we've only gotten, like, the cut-up versions that have to switch to black and white to cut the violence out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So when that comes out, that actually might be my new Tarantino favorite. But the first Kill Bill to me is an excellent movie, and I felt like Tarantino was doing something new with that. And it was, like, pleasantly violent the whole time, and it wasn't just dialogue. Like, it did a nice balance of super violent, like, action scenes and nice dialogue as well.
But, you know...
It was something new, like, along the lines of Pulp Fiction. Like, I had a good time with that.
I don't know. It's not something new. I mean, that's one of the movies that he most copied from other
directors. No. This was before he, like, completely gave himself away of Grindhouse, where he was just like, now I want to make a movie that just looks like an old movie.
Yeah.
I think, like, yeah, he's going towards that Kill Bill. It's not, I mean, it's not as awesome as Pulp Fiction.
So you're saying it's still not new, but he hit it better in Kill Bill.
Yes, exactly right. Like, well, Grindhouse, like, the exact opposite happened. I think, like, whatever he was trying to do with that, like, he did not make a Grindhouse movie. I said in an earlier podcast with Drag Me to Hell that was, a better Grindhouse film.
Yeah.
Than Grindhouse actually was.
Well, I can see that. I can see what you're saying.
But for what it's worth, and this is the effect that he has on me and probably you too, listener, because we just love the guy. I will see Tarantino's next film, however long it takes him to get around to making another one, because he seems to have more fun just hanging out with friends and producing their movies.
Right.
But bonus points to, I think his name is Christoph something or other. Christoph Waltz, perhaps, something like that.
He's a German actor, I believe. I don't think he's been in
many
Austrian films. Oh, that's Austrian.
He did an excellent job in this. I hope there's some Oscar talk for him, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think he's
very surprising. He's really, really good. And for what's worth, Brad Pitt's really good in this movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just underused, and he gets some of the funniest lines as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good. And Tarantino, Tarantino can't stay away from his characters from Tennessee.
That's true.
This in Grindhouse. You know, he's from Knoxville, so this is in Grindhouse. He's
giving
local
Brad
shout-outs.
Brad Pitt's from, like...
Maryville, Tennessee,
Maryville, okay.
which is not too far down the road. I think I'm going to go visit Brad Pitt's character's kids after this show.
Okay, that's...
They're not fictional or anything, right?
I would tell you if they were.
Yeah. Okay, so question.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he have the thing around his neck? Did we ever get any...
Well, presumably he survived a lynching at some point, is the implication.
Okay.
But no, that was never mentioned.
Okay, we should have gotten that. Like, he could have been like, the reason I hate Nazis is because this. And then Samuel Jackson could have been like, the reason he hated Nazis was simple. That'd be kind of awesome.
As soon as Samuel L. Jackson showed up narrating weird flashbacks, I was like, this is totally a Tarantino movie. I love it.
Well, yeah, see, that's the point where it's just like, okay, now he just wants to work Samuel Jackson in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
damn straight, nothing wrong with that.
Eli Roth shows up again, better than he was in Grindhouse. Still not a great actor. He seems like the guy who's just friends with the director so much.
Yeah, but he didn't embarrass himself.
No. He serves the part really well, I think. Just whenever, like, he had extended spoken lines, you could tell, like, he was just kind of like, I don't know. It didn't work out so well. His bit as the Italian's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually directed the movie within the movie.
Yeah.
There's some trivia for you, which is kind of cool. Which I'm sure will be, once again, available on the super long, unrated Director's Cut DVD.
All 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, all 5 minutes of it.
Indeed.
Exactly. Well, Inglourious Basterds. Next week, Ryan, if you recall, we've plugged this on critical-in.com, where you should all go and hang out on a constant basis.
Totally.
The Final Destination, Ryan.
Yeah, well, the is Latin for four.
3D.
Oh, I'm haunting
now,
the movie.
I've been promised that death is going to come for me, Ryan, in this 3D.
He hasn't come for you the last three times.
No. But that wasn't in 3D. In 3D, I assume that death can just reach right out and get his butter-soaked fingers all over me.
It's going to be like Max von Sydow at butter-soaked fingers?
Yeah. Well, hold on, where were you going?
Max von Sydow in Last Action Hero. He's going to come through the film at
the
end.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'm the only person in existence who, when you're like in Last Action Hero, I go, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
I totally hope that this movie is like Last Action Hero.
We are
and not
the
so
only
much like any other Final Destination.
Who like that movie.
Yeah, that's not, and I don't count that movie as a guilty, not to get on some sort of change. That's not a guilty pleasure movie. I think that's a damn good movie.
It's good. It's definitely good, if not damn good.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. Any other thing? I did the shameless plug of the website.
Totally.
Is there anything I'm missing?
Well, let's see. Critical Analytics. Well, let's see. You know, the contest is over, but we really appreciate anybody who gives us a review or rates us on iTunes. Just search iTunes for Critical End. Tell people you like us. Tell people you don't like us. Really, we take any kind of attention.
That's right. And you know, you can ask the winners of the last contest, and they will tell you that they totally love their prize.
Mm-hmm.
And they love us. And they especially love us on Saturdays, I think.
Well, it's not confirmed, but I do suspect you're correct.
Yeah. Saturday is my day of choice.
Yes. Speaking of Diane Kruger, since she was in this movie Inglourious Basterds, I gotta tell you, and speaking of guilty pleasures...
Nice gap, that gal!
And speaking of guilty pleasure, since we just mentioned Last Action Hero, although that was not a guilty pleasure. A guilty pleasure for me, National Treasure.
I was going to say you can go to National Treasure.
Are you excited about the third one?
There's a third one? God damn!
Quest for Lincoln's Gold!
I am pretty excited, to be honest with you. I don't say it's a guilty pleasure movie, Ryan. I think I actually rated the first one like a 7. I enjoyed it. I think it was a good movie. It's one of those movies that you kind of, like, if you don't know anything about American history, the better off you are.
Right. It's a total popcorn film.
Yeah, oh, exactly, right.
But
right.
I did enjoy
because
it.
Of that, I think it's successful. They're getting all sorts of bonus reviews in this one.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the second one, too. I don't remember enjoying it quite as much, but I remember there being a lot of stretches in the second one. But maybe perhaps in the end, Ryan, that'll be like the tipple of doom of the series, right?
Yeah, that's so, right. I do remember Short one. Round making that appearance as Ben Franklin's heir. Which is weird.
If I remember correctly, he did step on Fortune Cookie.
That's right. That's right. That worked out much better than the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
I think most things did.
So did everything.
So third National Treasure. This is news to me. This is like White Chicks 2. Okay, I can get behind a third National Treasure.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's happening. I haven't read anything about it recently, but I thought it was confirmed.
I'm sure it is. Nicolas Cage does anything, pretty much.
Totally.
Yeah, he did my bar mitzvah. Remember that?
Yeah, he sang All Out of Love. That was weird.
Yeah, that was very odd.
All right, speaking of Nicolas Cage, let's go to Kick-Ass. Have you seen anything on Kick-Ass?
What the hell's Kick-Ass? Is this like a new soda I don't know about? What are you talking about?
All right, Kick-Ass is a comic that I've been reading.
I'm just making all this up.
But it's not, the comic isn't even done. It's like there's only been like 5 issues of it or so. But they're already making a movie based on the comic. So they're filming it now, or it's actually, I think it's got a cut that's been floating around. I'm not sure if it's done or not. But Nicolas Cage is in it, and the premise is it's actually about a kid who decides to become a superhero even though he has no powers. He just dresses up in a tracksuit and tries to fight crime. And just like in real life, what would happen? He just gets his ass kicked left and right and gets horribly injured, but still tries to help people. And Nicolas Cage plays an assassin whose little like 6-year-old or 7-year-old girl is also an assassin who helps him, and he's like training her to essentially be Batman. It's pretty
now,
awesome.
Is this the new Robert Rodriguez movie, Ryan? Because it pretty much sounds
You've
like
You've got
it.
The right idea.
He's like, listen, Racer, what do you want to do in your next movie?
No, it's
like,
not Shorts
Racer,
the movie. Hold on.
Racer's like, I wanna fight alongside Nicolas Cage, that's a 7-year-old girl. And Rodriguez is like, I think we can do that. Hello, Weinstein, buddy. Yeah, whatever you want, Rodriguez, do it. And that's how I think most of Rodriguez's movies
And then as he's hanging at the phone, he's like, 7-year-old girl? Should I ask
Racer? What the hell's he talking about?
I mean, I'm fine with it, I just want to know. That's how we found out.
I'll wait and see this whole Kick-Ass thing. From my experience, Ryan, a Nicolas Cage in anything adapted or a remake of is a bad thing.
Nicolas Cage is not like the character in the comics, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, I think he actually is playing some superhero too, some well-known superhero at some point in the future. Like that's always been. Well, okay, no, I guess that's Ghost Rider. Never mind. There is a Ghost Rider too. You can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But
I've heard
sure
of that, but I don't know if that's actually happening. But I do know that Thor is happening, directed by Kenneth Branagh of all people.
I know, I saw that. Man, I totally.
And
hope
I think
it's
he's
like
the best guy because he does all that Shakespeare stuff, and Thor is very Shakespearean.
I'm just hoping that it's gonna be like the scene in Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah, me too.
Where with Thor, because that was awesome.
With the dude for the bug from Men in Black will come out.
Yeah, so. Look us up online or whatever we do online there. What do we do again? Website or something?
Mostly pornography.
Mostly porn?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the porn. Check us out. Let us know what you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk to you next week with the Final Destination.
Wait, Logan, what if there's a fifth Final Destination movie?
Ryan, I got one more. Nation.
Oh.
Oh, what if there's a fifth? Then it'll be the Finalist Destination.
I just don't trust anyone anymore after that. After Naked Gun 33 1/3, Oh, wait, that was the last one. Oh, that's probably all good then. Never mind.
What are you thinking? Oh. Bye.
Bye.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.